Mishnah in Sukkah. The Mishnah in Sukkah says, if you eat in the Sukkah, if you stay in the Sukkah while it's raining, so the Mishnah says, it gives a mashal as you're pouring, an eved is pouring wine to the master, and the master pours the wine over his head. So the Mishnah in Sukkah is trying to say that there's something derogatory, negative, to stay in the Sukkah while it's raining. That's the mashmos of the Mishnah in Sukkah. So I'll just read the line of the Mishnah. So you have to make your sukkah into a house. Yardu gisham. The Mishnah says, let's say it starts raining. It says, when can you leave? Misha tisra ha makva, when the soup spoils. Mashlu mashal lamadav doma leevet shabalimzo kos larabo v'shafach lo kiton alpanav. So the Mishnah is trying to say that it's derogatory. Something is wrong if you're staying in the sukkah and it's raining. It's not a good sign. The Mishnah never says you're hedyot. But the Rama, when he quotes this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, he quotes from Hagos Maimonides, he says, if you stay in the sukkah while it's raining, you are a hedyot. And he quotes the Lashon of the Hagos Maimonides. Hedyot means that you're a fool. You're doing something that's silly. It doesn't make sense to do that. All right, and this is based on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, I'll read the words of the Yerushalmi right now, Kol ha-pater min ha-davar ha-seh u-nikra hedyot. So let's read the Yerushalmi. So this is Brachos in the second parak. So the Mishnah says, what about a chasen? A chasen is pater, midina gemara, doesn't apply today, but midina gemara, chasen is pater from saying kriyashma. Because he's tarred, he's worried about the mitzvah. He's not sure what's going to happen. So the Mishnah says, Chasan imrotze. So even though he's pater, because this is called tarred min a mitzvah, Chasan imrotze likros eshma b'layla rishon kore. But the Chachamim say, even though he's technically pater, but let's say he decides to say shma anyway, he can do so. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, lo kol arotze lito lo as Hashem Yito. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, he shouldn't be doing this. And then the Yerushalmi quotes the following case. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yossi have a yatvin, they were sitting, achlin, and they were eating, behada beiknishta, in some shul. Asa Achas onsa ditzluse. It came time to daven mincha, but it wasn't like shkia time, like we have mincha. There was time to wait, but they were having, let's say, a meal, whatever was taking place in the shul, and there was a time, a minyan was taking place. So kam Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, and he started matzle. He daven. He interrupted his meal and he went to daven. Amalei Rav Maisha, lo kein alfan rabbi, im hitkilu ein mafsikin. The din is, if you start a meal, you don't have to interrupt your meal to go to a minyan. You could daven at a later minyan, assuming you have time. We're not talking about shkia time. V'tanya Chizkia, kol mishehu pater min adavar oseu nikra hedyot. Chizkia says, if technically right now you don't have to daven, because you could daven later, and you're going to daven now anyway, you're called a hedyot. Why are you doing this? This is his remark. Amalei v'hataninan, what about our Mishnah? Chasan is pater from saying kriyashma. And the Tachachamim say, Chasan is pater, and it's v'tnan imratza, he can read. Amalei v'lo Rabban Gamliel, but he says, and Rabban Gamliel says not to read. Amalei Yacho Ana Pater Ki Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel Amar Eini Shomei Lachem Levato Meni Malchus Shemayim. In the Mishnah, it's Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. But Rabban Gamliel who is going not like his son, he says, no, Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim is different. So because Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim is different, so that's why the Chassan will say Kriya Shema, even though technically he's Pata. But when we're dealing with a meal, and there's no question of Davin Mincha is not Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim, and you can Davin later, so the Gemara Yerushalmi seems to say it would be negative, it would be inappropriate to interrupt your meal and daven, but rather finish the meal and daven later. Alright, so the conclusion from this Yerushalmi, and based on this Yerushalmi, the Ramah is applying it by Sukkah, we say that if you're pater from something, you're ahead. Okay, so the problem is, we find many examples where, this is what the question all the Rishonim are going to be asking, that many examples where this is not true.
What is not true?
Where you, if you're pater from something, you do it. And not only are not called a hedjo, just the opposite. This is Hareza Meshubach. We say it's considered Midas Chasidus. So we have a contradiction. So let's just quote some examples. So first, let's talk about Sukkah itself. If a woman sits in the Sukkah, she's Pater, right? When Mitzvah says Shazman Grama. Nobody ever called a woman a hedjo coming into a Sukkah, even though she's Pater. Right? So why don't we, what happened to this principle? The Ramban is going to ask this question. How can we say a woman is pat mitzvah se shezman gram? And yet, when she does it, she's considered meshubah. She even, according to Rabbeinu Tam, she even makes a bracha. Mm-hmm. How can she make a bracha? She's called a hedjah. Right? This is the problem. Furthermore, when it comes to, let's say, eating, right? So, technically, you can drink, let's say, water, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to drink water in a sukkah. And yet, the Mishnah itself in Sukkah says they were Tanaim, who would not even drink water unless they would come into the Sukkah. Well, why don't you say, since you're Pater, you don't have to drink water in the Sukkah, why don't you say they're a Hedyon? So that's already two examples where we have a Kash. If we say every case of Pater is called a Hedyon, what do we do with women? What do we do with the case of drinking water in the Sukkah? In fact, the Ramban himself says, not only do we have a case of women, what about a non-Jewish person? We have Gemaras where the Gemara says a non-Jew can do mitzvahs. That's the Gemara Kedushin. The Gemara says, Ad heichan hamagia kibud aveim. How far does kibud aveim go? So the Gemara Kedushin says, you know, you want it's a famous Gemara, you know, you want to know how far kibud aveim goes? Let's learn from this non-Jew.
His mother,
she kicked him or something? Right, here. By me name me Ula, ad heichan aim. Amalhem, asa ovid kochavim echad, ba ashkolon, vidima ben nesina shmo. Pam achas bikshu kochamim pragmatia, bishishim rivo. They needed gems, stones, for the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. And they were willing to pay $60,000, or whatever it was. Shishim Rivo, Skar. He would have made profit, a great amount. But the key to the stones was under his father's head. Volotir, he didn't want to wake up his father. So he was honoring his father to such a degree that he was willing to forego such a big profit. So they say, that's a, you know, you want to see how far Kibbut Avim, let's learn from this non-Jew. So the Gemara says, you see, well, certainly a non-Jew is pater from Kibbut Aveim. It's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Nei Noach. And nevertheless, the Gemara praises him. Right? All right?
Okay.
So the question is, why don't you say, Kol HaPater Min HaGav or Nikra Hedyot? That's the question. Or, just to keep more questions, the Mishnah in Sota says that the Melech, when he reads the Torah on Parshas Hakel, could sit. And the Gemara says, Agrifus HaMelech stood. And the Gemara praises him. Why is he praised? He's Pater, he doesn't have to stand, and yet we praise him. So, many examples, right?
Okay.
Alright, so I'm just quoting lots of examples where you're Pater from something, and, you know, Mesillas Yesharim says, Derech Hasidus is considered when you're doing something extra you don't have to do. So, examples are, if you're Pater of something, you're in your Machmir anyway, and you don't rely on the psur, we say it's considered something positive. So what are we, how are we going to answer? So there are going to be three approaches to answer this question. So one approach is the Rav Yah. The Mordechai in Brachos quotes Rav Yah, who says, in principle, we say Hareza Meshuvah. If you're pater from a mitzvah and you do something, you're Meshuvah. So you know when you're... So what do you do with the Yerushalmi? Oh, so Rav Yah says, that's only considered Derech Yura. No, it's you're trying to show off how religious you are. So if you, the only time you could do a Chumrah, and it's not going to be Derech Yura if a person is always doing Chumras. But if he's just going to do it one time, it has a bad image. So in principle, the Mordechai applies it in the case of a Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos in the beginning of Brachos. So Rashi says they used to daven Marav early in shuls, like some shuls do today. And but what do you do with Kriya Shema? So Rashi says, okay, you, when you say Kriya Shema Lamita, you repeat Shema and then you'll be out. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you really need to say later. So Mordechai says, if you're Machmir, so in that case, unless you're always Machmir in all other areas, doing a Chumrah will be a problem Yura. So in other words, the Rav Yah is saying the Yerushalmi is only is a question of Marasayin. But in principle, there's nothing wrong doing Chumras, it's just a bad image. But if there's no problem of any bad image, so we don't have to worry about the Yerushalmi.
So according to that, if you're sitting in the sukkah and nobody's observing you, then...
You could sit under the rain.
Maybe you are not...
Well, okay, let's continue with the sukkah, okay? Mm-hmm. See, the problem with the sukkah, the Be'er Halacha gives the answer with the sukkah. He says, oh, you know why sukkah is different? He says, because it's a problem of Oneg Yom Tov. You're sitting in the sukkah while it's raining, you're violating Oneg Yom Tov. So then there's something negative. Not only forget about Yura and nobody's looking, but there's something negative because it's a violation of Oneg Yom Tov. So that's what the Be'er Halacha says. There's another answer why sukkah is different, and that is because it's simply not called living in the sukkah. In other words, sukkah means you live in the sukkah the way you live in the house. Now, would you stay in a house that has a leak and rain going through?
So
you wouldn't stay in such a house.
Yeah, but so then it's nothing to do with that you're potter, then you're mamash violating the...
No, you're not violating anything. It's just simply not a sukkah.
So then you're not...
That's why you're potter, because you're not living in the sukkah. Because sukkah means you live in the sukkah like you live in the house. It has to be a permanent dwelling. Rain coming through, you don't live in a house with rain coming through. So the reason it's not appropriate to stay in the sukkah, that's what some will say. We'll come back. So there are two ways to answer by sukkah. Either you say it's a violation of Oneg Yom Tov, or we say that's not called living. In other words, living in the sukkah means this becomes your house. You're not going to stay in a house that rains through. So don't stay in a sukkah that rains. But water, you would drink water in the house, so you can drink water when you come into the sukkah. That will be the second way. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So according to Rav Yah, basically, we reject the Yerushalmi. It's only going to be a problem of Marasayin. Otherwise, if it's appropriate and if there's no problem with Marasayin, unless there's something negative, like Oneg Yom Tov, you know, something like that. But unless there are other considerations, nothing wrong with doing a mitzvah which you're pater from, because the Yerushalmi is a special exception. That's the approach of Rav Yah. Now, the second approach is going to be the Ramban. The Ramban in Kiddushin, who asked this question. So I'll read it's just one line in the Ramban. So let's read what the Ramban says. Ramban says, he says, you see from this Gemara in Kiddushin that it's good to do women do mitzvos even though they're pater. The ikashava amrina biyushalmi kol ola osa davar sheinu mitzuva bo nikra hedya. Ramban says, how can the Gemara say women or non-Jews can do mitzvos even though they're pater? What happened to the Yerushalmi? So the Ramban answers, hasam she osa davar sheinu mitzuva bo minatora klal shu kimosi vala Torah. Avamisha osa mitzvos hatorah kitikunan afal pishelo nitztava hu bahem kigo nashim v'goyim mekablim aleihem schar shekul derachah darchei noam So Ramban is saying like this. He's saying, if is it objective or subjective? The reason the person is the potter, the ptur, is the ptur coming from something objective or is it coming something personal to him? When it comes to a woman who is going to sit in a sukkah or bench lulav or blow shofar, the blowing shofar sitting in the sukkah is the same mitzvah, whether it's the woman doing it or the man. So the only question is that she's technically herself is potter from that mitzvah. But the actual mitzvah itself, the maisa mitzvah, is the same mitzvah whether the woman does it or a man does it. So in that case, when the ptur is coming personal from something personal to the person doing it, something subjective to the person, but the maisa mitzvah is a regular maisa mitzvah, the ptur is not because of the maisa mitzvah, the Ramban says, then we say that even though you're potter, doing so is a praiseworthy thing. So what about the Yerushalmi, says the Ramban? Oh, the Yerushalmi has to be saying where the ptur is nothing personal to the person who's doing it, there's something inherent with the act itself, it's not a maisa mitzvah. So what does that mean? Let's look at the case of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi was dealing with a case where they were eating a meal, and in the middle of the meal, there was a minyan for, mincha, and they came to daven minyan, they were in a shul. So one of the rabbis interrupted his meal and he went to daven. And the other one says, how can you do this? So the Ramban will have to say that the circumstances in which you are davening is part of the mitzvah of the davening. So in other words, if right now you are eating the meal and you're going to interrupt your meal and you're going to daven, then there's something inherently wrong with your davening. The actual maisa mitzvah has been tampered. So according to the Ramban, the only time osa mitzvah would be okay if the actual maisa is fine and it's only something about the person. But in that particular case where he was interrupting his meal, his focus was on the meal, not on the davening, so he's not going to be able to focus his davening while he interrupts his meal, so therefore it was inappropriate for him to stop the meal and go daven. Is that clear? So what the Ramban is saying, the way I'm interpreting the Ramban is that the only time a patur min a mitzvah is praiseworthy if the actual maisa itself is a meaningful maisa mitzvah and in no way has been diminished. But if the actual maisa itself has been diminished because he's focused on the meal, so then he will not be appropriate for him to interrupt the meal. Because what kind of davening is it if you start davening in the middle of the meal?
It talks about cases that, you know, people are eating and then the chasen ka'al comes along, so you interrupt your meal to go mekabel the chasen ka'al upon the chasen ka'al.
Right.
That's considered normal to do.
Right.
And they had a question.
But davening, Moshe, of all people, I would not expect you to say this.
No.
Davening, you want to equate davening to kabbalah's chasen ka'al? Davening is a tremendous focus. You have to be your whole mindset on it. So that is something you cannot do in the middle of the meal. But when it comes to...
We go to weddings all the time, you're eating your meal.
Moshe, you're talking about Bisman Hazeh. We're talking about Bisman HaGemara. You have to understand... The Gemara says that if a person went from a trip, just came back from a trip, they couldn't concentrate on the davening because their mindset wasn't ready. Today that doesn't apply. We don't have their mindset. We're not davening the way they used to daven. Moshe, I cannot believe you're saying this. Of all the people.
So the reason today people go with meal, not because
we're not on the same level. Right.
The reason is because they may not get minyan. They may still get before sunset, but they may not get minyan late. That's it.
Right, that's a different thing. But we're talking about where you're going to daven late. Okay, yeah, this is the approach of the Ramban. Okay? All right, so well, look, there'll be plenty of nafkaminas. I'm not finished. I have more to say. Okay? Now, the third approach. So we have Rav Yah. Rav Yah says basically anytime you're part of a mitzvah and you do it, it's fine except for yuhara or some external problem, technicality. The Ramban is saying if it's coming from the person or coming external. If externally there's some chisaron in the maisa mitzvah, then it's considered hedyot. But if the chisaron is not external but it's just simply particular tour from the person himself, such as a woman or a non-Jew, so then in that case, gizuntehei, do the mitzvah. That's the Ramban. And then finally we have the third approach is going to be the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon in Shnos Eliyahu says that in general, if you're doing a mitzvah and there's a ptur, then there's something wrong with the mitzvah. But if it depends what the nature of the ptur is. If the nature of the ptur is because Chazal gave you a break, or the Torah is giving you, so to speak, a dispensation, a kula, you have the right to forego a kula for your benefit. So if the reason you're potter is because this is just a privilege that the Torah is being makel on you, so a person has the right to forego the kula and do the mitzvah anyway. But if the reason he's potter is not because it's a kula, but simply the mitzvah itself has been changed in any ways, is not the same regular mitzvah, so then if the ptur is not a kula, then Vilna Gaon is saying then the whole mitzvah is not appropriate to do if you're potter.
An example of that?
Okay, so the Vilna Gaon quotes the Mishnah in Brachos. The Mishnah in Brachos says as a machlokes beis Shama and beis Hillel, how you say Shema. So it says b'shach b'chov kumecha. So beis Shama say, you know what b'shach b'chov means? Not only when you lie down, as you are lying down. So according to beis Shama, you should say Kriya Shema in the evening when you're lying down, and in the morning when you're standing. And beis Hillel say, no, it's telling you when you say it, not how you say it. So the Gemara actually says there was a certain Amora who did like Beis Shammai, and he was Mesukan, and he almost died. And the Gemara says, oh, the reason this happened to you is because you were Machmir like Beis Shammai. And there's another Gemara of another Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Let's say you didn't bench, you didn't say Birchas Hamazon, and you moved to another place. You have to go back. So Beis Shammai say, yeah, you have to go back, and Beis Hillel say, you don't. And there was a person who was machmir like Beis Shammai, and he was rewarded. He found some gold, piece of gold, as a reward for being machmir like Beis Shammai. So which one is it? One case he gets killed, another case he gets rewarded, right? So the Vilna Gaon explains. In the case of going back, the reason that Beis Hillel say you don't have to go back is not because when you go back in any way Birchas Hamazon has been diminished. They just simply say, we give you a break, you don't have to go back. But of course, the more appropriate thing is to say the Birchas Hamazon where you ate. But in the case of Kriya Shema, no, this is goof of what the whole idea of Kriya Shema is all about. Kriya Shema does not mean you should say the Kriya Shema as you're standing or as you're lying down. Rather, Kriya Shema has to be said as the words themselves. Your actual position in how you say the Shema is not part of the mitzvah. So when the mitzvah itself has been changed, such as Kriya Shema, so in that case, the Vilna Gaon says, you're right, you're not going to do it, you cannot do a change, and pater will not be appropriate. But when it's not a question of how you do the mitzvah, it's just giving you a break, a cooler, a tircha, we're giving you a ptur from a tircha, then if you decide to be machmir and not forego the tircha, forego the kula, that would be a praiseworthy thing. Okay, let me give you some examples, okay?
While you're forming examples, I'm right. Is there some example in which the second and third approaches differ?
Yeah, I'll give you everything. As long as you give me enough time, I will tell you. Okay, so there's a Tshuva.
Well, as long as you stay in for Ma'ariv.
Okay, come on.
All
right. So there is a Tshuva Rabbi Akiva Eiger who has the following case. He was asked the following question. The father says to the son, I want you to do something for me. Let's say fix something in the house. And it would involve expenses. So we paskin mishal av, which means if there are any expense, assuming the father has the money, has resources to pay for it, the son is not obligated to spend his money to, let's say he needs him to fix something in the house or mow the lawn, whatever it is, the son doesn't have to spend the money himself, he can use the father's expenses. So the father is asking the son to go out and use his own money to fix something in the house, and the father does not want to lay out the money. And the mother says, no, don't do it. That was the shaila. What should the son do? So the makshin who raised the question, the shaila, to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, wanted to say, look, since we paskin mishalav, and this will involve expenses, which the father does not want to spend, so there's no mitzvah of listening to the father. And the case was obviously, Rabbi Akiva Eiger explains, where the mother was divorced, otherwise you listen to what the father says. So then, the mitzvah...
What do you mean, otherwise you listen to
the Gemara says that when you have parents and they're not divorced, if there's a disagreement between the father and the mother, you always listen to what the father says, because the mother has to
right,
listen.
But not in this case where he's potter from that. He doesn't have to listen. You step his potter.
No, but you'll finish. No, but the mother wouldn't have any opinion anyway.
Right. Right.
Because she.
But. What?
Well, okay. Maybe you're right. Okay, we'll leave it. Maybe they're not divorced. Okay, it will be easier if they are. Okay, let's assume. I think it's a little complicated. Okay, let's assume whatever. In the easy case where they are divorced, okay? So the father says, do it, and I'm not spending the money. And the mother says, don't do it. So in that case, he should listen to the mother, because since there's no mitzvah listening to the father, because Mishal Av, so now he just has a mitzvah to listen to the mother.
Well,
that's what the Maksham wanted to say.
He's not listening to the mother. He's just not doing it because he's not Mechoyev.
Right, that's called listening to the mother.
Okay.
Wait, you'll soon. Right, let me finish.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, no. He says, no. When we say that Mishal Av, that doesn't mean, let's say the son would do it anyway. Let's say the son would go ahead and spend his money out of his own pocket, even though he doesn't have to, and would fix the house, whatever the father needs. Would you say, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in that case, he's not fulfilling Kibbutz Av Eh? In other words, the Torah gives the son a break by not requiring him to do the care and take care of his parents when the money is coming out of his pocket. But if he decides to spend the money anyway, in no way that will diminish from the mitzvah. The Torah is just giving the son a break. But if he decides to forego of that privilege, it's a privilege that the Torah gives you, but if you decide to forego, that should in no way take away from the actual mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Eh. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says the son may be potter, he doesn't have to listen to the father, but it's not that he must listen to the mother and not do it, he still has a choice, because it will be a meaningful mitzvah. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is obviously saying, like the Vilna Gaon, that whenever the Yerushalmi says Kol HaPater Min HaDavar V'Oseh Nikra Hedya, does not apply by those mitzvos which are given as privileges. And this is an example of something that's a privilege that the Torah gives a person.
When they're married or when they're divorced?
As I said, he does. Let's assume their divorce will be easier, okay? Fine. He gives another example. Rabbi Akiva Eiger gives another example. For example, let's say we have a din that to spend money for mitzvos up to Chumash. Let's say tefillin are very expensive, you don't have a lot of money, and to buy a pair of tefillin will be more than 1/5, 20% of what you're earning. So technically you're potter from wearing tefillin. So says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, let's say a person will go ahead and spend the money anyway, he doesn't have to. Would you say he's not fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin? True, the Torah gives you a break and your onus rachmana patre. But does that mean the mitzvah is gone? No, it's a privilege that the Torah gives you. You have a break, onus. But you have the right to forego that ptur and do it. We're not going to say if you put on tefillin and you spend more than 1/5, you know, people used to spend for a lulav esrog, they would spend, you know, much more than 1/5 money because they want to fulfill. Would you say they're not fulfilling the mitzvah of lulav esrog just because they spend more than 1/5 of their money? The mitzvah is still there. It's just a privilege that the Torah ponders you. But in no way, if you forego that privilege, will that diminish you from the mitzvah. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes. Okay? So far, we have three shitos, just to summarize. We have three shitos in terms of how to understand the stira between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. Do we say, Kol HaPater Min HaDavar V'Oseh Nikra Hedyot, or do we say, Hareza Meshubah? So approach number one is Rav Yahu says in general it's Meshubach unless it's Megzikiyura or there's some technicality, but in general anytime you're part of a mitzvah and you decide to volunteer, it's a wonderful thing. We have the second approach, Ramban, who says objectively, is it considered to be a Maisa mitzvah or is it not? If the nature of the ptur that it actually removes the actual mitzvah itself, like the davening while you're eating, so then you'll be called a hedjot. That's the Yerushalmi. But if the nature of the mitzvah is like a woman or a non-Jew who's going to do a mitzvah which they're potter, in that case, their chisaron is not in the maisa mitzvah, it's just on the chiyuv, is he chayav or not. So, let me just formulate what the machlokes is. What is actually defining the mitzvah itself? So, in terms of making it meaningful. According to the shita of the Rav Yah, who says, in general, under all situations, the mitzvah is meaningful, Rav Yai is saying that the mitzvah is defined by the raw activity itself. I don't care whether you're chayev or whether you're pater. We don't care about any of the circumstances. The mitzvah is defined by the actual raw act itself, what we call the pu'ula. The act itself will define the mitzvah. So even if the circumstances are such that it's in the middle of a meal, or the mitzvah has been in any way changed, doesn't matter. You do the mitzvah, I don't care who does it, I don't care how you do it, the mitzvah is always meaningful, even if you're potter. Says the Ramban Shita says, no, we define the mitzvah by the maisa mitzvah. So as long as it's an actual maisa mitzvah that you're doing, objectively, then it's meaningful to do it. But if the maisa mitzvah has been changed, then we say what you're doing is not meaningful. We don't look at the raw act, the result. Did you do the mitzvah or not? Did you daven? But we look at the circumstances. What was the situation in which you were davening? So the Ramban is saying the mitzvah is defined by the maisa mitzvah. And finally, you have the third shita, which is the Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Vilna Gaon. They're saying in general the mitzvah is defined by the chiyuv. If you don't have a chiyuv to do the mitzvah is gone. Except when the nature of the chiyuv is just a privilege or some sort of dispensation or kula. But if the nature of the ptur is not a kula or a dispensation, if you're potter from the mitzvah, the whole mitzvah disappears. So now, let's talk about the case of a non-Jew who's going to do a mitzvah. So we have a Gemara in Kiddushin says that a non-Jew who did kibbur avayim is considered praiseworthy. Okay, the question is, what about other mitzvahs? Let's say a non-Jew wants to eat matzahs. Would it be meaningful, let's say he wants to put on tefillin? I've seen actually these cases come up. A non-Jew wanted to put on tefillin. Do we allow a non-Jew to put on tefillin or anything else? So would that be meaningful, or are we going to say, kol ha'pater min ha'davar, v'osei nikra hedyo?
Wait a minute, but it also depends if there is no issur.
Well, assuming there's no issur, what's the issur? Putting on tefillin is not an issur.
Why not?
What's the issur?
Well, for example, when it's allowed to teach the goy, Torah.
Okay, teaching Torah is correct. The Rambam writes.
The goy is in the parasha of.
The Rambam writes. Okay, okay. The Rambam writes. Okay, you're asking a good question.
Well, Ger in training is not Jewish.
What?
A Ger in training is not Jewish.
Yeah, I know that. The Rambam writes that even though we're not supposed to teach Torah for goyim and they're not supposed to keep Shabbos, nevertheless, if they decide to do other mitzvahs, they may do so. The Rambam says so explicitly. Question is, how far does the Rambam go?
I thought there were a few exceptions. I thought tefillin is an oath, so I thought that's something that's going to...
The Rambam doesn't spell that out. The Radvaz on the Rambam does say that even though the Rambam says that it's meaningful for goyim to do mitzvahs, but davar shebikdusha, which is what you meant by an oath, davar shebikdusha, we will not allow.
You're going to call a goy to the aliyah, to the Sefer Torah?
Well, that would be a different problem, because that would be davar shebikdusha as well. And, okay, that's more complicated. But I'm not talking about, coming to the Torah. I'm talking about he wants to eat matzahs.
Right.
A simple example. He comes to your Seder, these things happen, you have intermarriage couples, and you're going to feed them matzahs. Is it okay for a non-Jew to eat matzahs? Okay? So, the Radvaz will say, as long as it's not davar shebikdusha, tefillin, mezuzahs, or anything like that, then it's okay.
But is he getting a mitzvah?
That's the question. So, is it meaningful? So, I believe, let's try to see how it fits into this machlokas. So, if we're going to go like Rabbi Kiva Eger, and like the Vilna Gaon, that the chiyuv defines the mitzvah, and it's only going to be a special privilege, so then we're going to say, in the case, the goyim mitzvahs, this is something that Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva. I heard Rav Aaron Salvech said the same thing. He says, oh, we're not going to say like the Ritvaz, it's a question of davar shebikdusha or not davar shebikdusha. Is it going to be ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chaver? In other words, we can't argue with the Gemara, where the Gemara says that it was meaningful for a goy to honor his father. But will we allow matzahs? Then not.
But
so
I think there are other reasons why to honor his father. There are other inyanim there. Why
the Ramban doesn't say any other minyanim. He tells you it's the same as a woman. The Ramban puts it together. You follow?
In the case of kibbud avayim?
Yeah, he says that's the same.
The Ramban would seem to agree on the going to the mitzvahs.
Yeah, right. So I believe this is going to be the difference in Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Ramban. The Ramban will say that as long as the mitzvah in any way hasn't been diminished, I don't care whether it's the goy who's doing the mitzvah or the Jew, so even if he wants to eat matzah, what's the difference? Who cares who's eating the matzahs? Eating matzahs is the same ma'aseh mitzvah, irrespective of who's doing it. But according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if you don't have a chiv to do it, so by ben adam lemakom, then the mitzvah is not meaningful. And ben adam lechavero, we will say those mitzvahs are meaningful, and the Torah is just giving them a dispensay. Why didn't the Torah chayev goyim to honor their parents? Because the Torah gave the goyim a break. Like women don't have to do mitzvah seishas mangram. But if it's a mitzvah ben adam lemakom, then baklal, you know, they're not shaykh in that mitzvah, and therefore won't exact. Let me give you another nafkamina, another case. Let's take the case of Rabbi Kivager's case that he brought up with, let's say the father doesn't want to spend the money, the son is going to spend the money. So that's a kula. What would the Ramban say in that case? Ramban says it depends on the circumstance. So you could say that spending the money is that part of the mitzvah of kibud avim. Or do we say, no, the kibud avim is honoring your father. Whether you spend the money or the father spends the money is just preliminary. You could say that spending the money is part of the mitzvah, and therefore since the father is asking you to spend your money, that's not my mitzvah. And the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. Okay, I'm going to give one more nafkamina, and that is a very interesting case. And that is a person obligated to save a life? A person is in danger, a Jew is in danger, he will definitely die unless we save him, but in order to save him, it will be dangerous to do so. So is a person obligated to put himself in a dangerous situation to save a life? If you don't save a life, the person will vade die, but if you interfere and try to save him, you may die. What should you do in that case? Okay, this question came up, you know, September 11th, right? Hatzalah. Were the Hatzalah people obligated to come in on the scene when it was still dangerous, or did they have to wait till the dangers disappeared? And just a simple example. Okay, it happens to be a three-day machlokas rishonim. Okay, so Beis Yosef in the Kesef Mishnah and in the Tur writes, you must save somebody's life even if you put yourself in danger. Ein safek motzi midevad. There is an opinion of the Radvaz. The Radvaz has a tshuva which says, absolutely not. You cannot risk your life. You're not allowed to. And the lashon of the Radvaz is, if you do so, that is a chasid shota. So, mamish, you can go from one extreme to the other. Beis Yosef says you must do it. And the Radvaz says you may not do it. Okay, so two extremes. And then you have a middle shita. The Netziv and the Shiltos explains, based on the shita of Tosos, you don't have to do it, but it is praiseworthy to do so. So, as far as the last two shitos, let's talk about this case and analyze it based on what we talked about. Is it considered to be something that is praiseworthy? Your pater, assuming not like the Beis Yosef. So assume you don't have to risk your life to save somebody else's life when it's dangerous. Should you do it, or it would be meaningful or not? So, I would say the same thing. It should be Tala, and this machlok is between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Ramban. According to the Ramban says you look objectively at the Maisa Mitzvah. Never mind who's doing it. Now, in this particular situation where there happens to be a danger in life involved, so you don't have to do it, but nevertheless, the mitzvah itself
it's a mitzvah, it's going to be a mitzvah. It's going to be a mitzvah.
Right, in other words, if you save somebody's life, even in this case, you're still saving a life. You don't have to do it, but you're still saving somebody's life. But according to the Radvaz, I think he would fit like the Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The only time it's meaningful if there's a break. In this case, the reason you're potter is not because the Torah gives you a break to save your life, because the Torah doesn't want you to endanger your life. So it's not just a break, but there's actually something negative because you're putting your life in danger. When there's something negative and you're putting your life in danger, then the Rabbi Akiva Eiger will say, in that case, the whole mitzvah is gone. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Radvaz uses this lashon of chasid shota. Why is he a chasid shota? He did a good thing. Mm-hmm. No, the answer is because the whole chiyuv disappears. And if the chiyuv disappears, the whole mitzvah is gone. Mm-hmm. The only time Rabbi Akiva Eiger will allow mitzvah to be meaningful is if the reason that the Torah pater you is based on a dispensation of a break. Mm-hmm. Not to risk your life is not a dispensation. Not to risk your life is actually something negative.
Wait, this is supposed to be recorded?
No.